Welcome to the Catholics on Campus podcast, where certified Catholic mindset coach and college student development expert, Dr. Virginia Cook, provides practical tips and coaching to succeed in college while growing in your Catholic faith. And now, your host, Virginia Cook.
Are you about to start something new in your life? Perhaps you are moving toward a new stage in life. Maybe you're graduating from high school, starting college soon, graduating from college, or starting your first job. Perhaps you are considering switching jobs or shifting your career, or even you're thinking about retirement. Perhaps you are about to start a family, or your last child is about to leave the house and you'll soon be an empty nester. Perhaps you feel called to a religious vocation. In this episode of Catholics on Campus, I'm going to tell you about taking massive action from a Catholic lens. Massive action is not just about achieving goals. It's about committing ourselves wholeheartedly to the work God has called us to do. I'm going to share some stories of saints who took massive action, the results of which still affect us today. I'll also reflect on how leaning into your geniuses and competencies can help you to achieve big, bold goals. Let's get some inspiration, my friends. So welcome back to the podcast. In mindset coaching, massive action refers to taking bold, consistent, and deliberate steps towards your goal, often pushing beyond your comfort zone and typical expectations. Massive action is characterized by a sense of urgency, stretching your comfort zone, and partnering with the Blessed Trinity. So let's break down these areas. First, urgency and commitment. Massive action is marked by a sense of urgency and a commitment to getting things done. You're not waiting for the perfect moment or the motivation to strike. You're actively working towards your goal and making progress every day and adjusting along the way. Next is discomfort and growth. Unlike passive action, massive action will force you to step outside your comfort zone. It expects that you will take risks. You might fail along the way. However, your growth mindset reassures you that failing is just a part of the process. The last is accelerated results. Because massive action is bold and relentless, it tends to produce faster, more noticeable results. You don't wait around for things to happen. By trusting in the Lord and with the Holy Spirit as your guide, you make them happen. The opposite of massive action is passive action. Now, passive action lacks a sense of urgency. People taking passive action will usually take small steps without urgency or a real commitment. They're just going through the motions without the intention of making a significant change. They might even think things like, I'll start working on my goal tomorrow, or I'll get around to it when I feel like it. Passive action is also driven by comfort. It's about doing what's easy, what's comfortable, and what doesn't require a lot of effort or risk. And lastly, passive action often leads to slow or no progress because it's not intentional or aligned with a clear, bold goal. A practical example of massive action would be, you decide to work out for 60 minutes 5 days a week. You schedule it into your calendar and track your progress and continuously push yourself to do more and better each week. You vary your workouts so that you stay excited about them and you embrace the discomfort of pushing your limits. You find ways to motivate yourself to stay disciplined even when it's tough. You make time to pray about your goals and you ask God for help. Can you imagine where the church would be if the apostles did not take massive action? Matthew 28 tells us that the risen Jesus gave the disciples his great commission. He told them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Of course, with Jesus instructing them to do these things, You can't imagine them taking passive action. In contrast, their massive action changed everything. From their first encounters with Jesus, the disciples recognized him as special and worthy of their dedication. Think about when Jesus called the disciples to follow him. Scriptures do not say that they thought about it for a while or they asked him a lot of questions about why they should follow him. When Jesus called Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him, Scripture says they immediately left their fishing boats, their livelihoods, and their families behind. By doing what Jesus asked them to do, the blind could see, the mute could speak, the deaf could hear. Their lives were completely changed from that moment forward. Committing to massive action requires that we break through mental barriers or limiting beliefs that keep us stuck. It's about actively creating change and momentum in our life through decisive, courageous actions. We know through the Gospels of Matthew and Luke that the apostles left everything to follow Jesus. Later in Acts, we learn that after the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles at Pentecost, Peter boldly preached to the crowd, even though he was previously fearful and denied Jesus. This moment marked a drastic and irreversible shift, going from fear of persecution to massive public action in spreading the gospel. The disciples took immediate, courageous action in their mission, even though they faced immense risks of imprisonment or death. St. Paul the Apostle's massive action was to journey around the Roman Empire, and his travels were well documented. He had to overcome dangers, beatings, imprisonments. Even when facing opposition, he didn't hesitate to go to new places and take action to preach the gospel. His legacy is seen in many Christian communities dotted along the way of his missionary journeys throughout modern-day Cyprus, Turkey, Crete, Malta, Italy, and Greece. I'm recording this episode during Lent, and I have been participating in a virtual pilgrimage following the footsteps of St. Paul from the Holy Land to Rome. It's an amazing series produced by the Magdala Institute, a spiritual center located in the Holy Land along the Sea of Galilee. The pilgrimage is guided by Kathleen Nichols, consecrated woman, Regnum Christi. I highly recommend that you watch it. I have a link in the show notes to the Magdala website to access the pilgrimage videos and resources. So let's look at four examples of people who became saints by responding to the Lord's call and taking massive action. First, let's consider the massive action of St. Francis, who lived in Assisi, Italy, over 900 years ago in the late 1100s. After experiencing a spiritual conversion, he boldly decided to leave behind his comfortable life as a son of a wealthy merchant. In his mid-20s, he heard Matthew's gospel of the Great Commission and was inspired to do the same. This decision was not a small change. It was a complete and radical shift in lifestyle and purpose. Francis gave up everything he owned, choosing to live in complete poverty, relying on the generosity of others for his needs. He went beyond simply giving money to the poor. He lived with them, became one of them, and worked tirelessly to help the most marginalized. His decision to embrace the lifestyle was not passive, it was active, driven by a clear vision to live the gospel radically. St. Francis's massive action included founding the Franciscan Order, which continues to serve people in poverty and spread the message of peace and humility. Second, let's fast forward to Spain in the late 1400s when St. Ignatius of Loyola was born. His massive action began when he was 30 years old, while recovering from a battle injury in which his legs were hit by a cannonball. He experienced a spiritual conversion. Rather than merely contemplating his new faith or engaging in small acts of devotion, Ignatius committed himself to intense action, praying deeply, making long pilgrimages, and embracing a life of total dedication to God. Most notably, Ignatius founded the Society of Jesus, which we today call the Jesuits, which not only focused on education and missionary work, but also played a key role in the Counter-Reformation. Ignatius didn't simply start a religious community. He created a global network that would change the course of Catholic history with a deep focus on personal spiritual growth and the salvation of souls. His devotion to poverty and simplicity continues to challenge us Catholics to reflect on our attachment to material possessions. His teachings on care for creation are especially relevant today as the Church addresses modern environmental challenges. We can especially see this in Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si, which draws heavily on St. Francis's example of a simple life in harmony with nature. Third, about 150 years later, in 1851, Vincent de Paul was born to a peasant family in France. Educated by the Franciscans, he became a priest at the age of 19. His massive action included providing relief to the poor and establishing hospitals for them. He co-founded the Congregation of Priests of the Mission, now referred to as Vincentians. He also co-founded with St. Louise de Marillac the Daughters of Charity. And lastly, over 100 years after St. Vincent de Paul's death, Elizabeth Ann Bailey Seton was born in the U.S. just 2 years before the American Revolution. A young, wealthy widow with five children, she converted to Catholicism in 1805. 4 years later, after becoming a religious sister, she went on to found the first Catholic schools in the United States. By the 1930s, her order, the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph, ran orphanages and schools as far west as Ohio and Louisiana. She later became the first U.S.-born saint. In fact, 2025 is the 50th anniversary of her canonization. Today, there are more than 200 U.S. parishes and schools under her patronage. Her shrine, located near Baltimore, Maryland, is designated as a pilgrimage site for the Jubilee Year of Hope. I've linked to the National Shrines website in the show notes if you can visit there during the Jubilee year and receive a plenary indulgence. Massive action also involves taking time to create something that can have a lasting impact. These saints sought to serve the poor and the vulnerable members of society, to lead others to spiritual growth and education, and to establish groups that could directly impact the church and society through their efforts. I think about massive action of the saints over history and their influence on my life. For example, because of St. Ignatius of Loyola, I was able to complete my doctoral studies at Loyola University Chicago, a Jesuit institution founded in 1870. Because of St. Vincent de Paul's leadership in creating charitable institutions for the poor, I am now able to serve neighbors in need in my local community as a Vincentian. What connections might you be able to draw from the massive action of these saints? Another factor in their ability to maintain massive action might have been their ability to work in their geniuses that God gave them. Leadership and organizational health expert Patrick Lencioni calls these abilities working geniuses. Lencioni identifies six activities of work that apply to any type of work. The six phases of work are wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. These activities form the acronym WIDGET as a framework for understanding how work gets done and how our God-given talents can be leveraged. Lencioni's Working Genius Assessment enables us to understand our attributes as genius, which is this natural and exceptional talent, competency, which is an area where we can perform well most of the time, and a frustration, which is an area where we can underperform or feel overwhelmed, like rowing against a current, possible but difficult. How did the saints get so much done? I imagine they probably had strengths in the genius of discernment, which is the ability to assess situations, make judgments, and implement wise decisions to ensure that the right solution is selected. Of course, with the Catholic lens, we can discern with God and rely on guidance from the Holy Spirit. Given that the saints attracted so many followers to their ministries, they probably had a genius or competency in enablement, which is the ability to empower and support individuals. I suspect that St. Ignatius of Loyola had a genius in wonder, which is driven by a desire to ask deep, probing questions. Ignatius's spiritual exercises are a great example of wonder at work. St. Vincent de Paul's passion for the poor probably enabled him to let his galvanizing genius shine. Galvanizers can easily rally people around a shared vision and spark enthusiasm to achieve a goal. We don't know where these saints generated their ideas or solutions to the problems of their days, but it's likely their invention, genius, or competency was Holy Spirit-led. While tenacity might be an area of frustration for these saints, if it were a frustration area, they were likely to involve others with the genius to use perseverance and determination to complete the tasks and make lasting, substantial change. A big takeaway for me is that massive action is not about achieving things on your own. As we learn from the apostles and those they trained, achieving great things is a community effort. For Catholics living in a secular, individualistic society, it's tempting to think that we must accomplish massive action with our own merits. As Christians, we know that with God, all things are possible. Massive action is not reserved for saints, but their example and the example of many saintly people we know should motivate us to do more. After all, we are all called to be saints. If you would like to learn more about the Working Genius Assessment, as a certified facilitator, I am ready to help you with this assessment and to learn how to mobilize your geniuses to increase your productivity and lead effective teams. I've linked to my website so that you can learn more about the Working Genius services I offer for individuals and teams. My friends, I hope this episode has inspired you and gifted you with the motivation you need to address the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Please give it a 5-star rating and share this podcast with your friends. How can I pray for you? Feel free to reach out to me and let me know through my website, knots-untied.com. I've also linked to my website in the show notes to make it easier for you to reach me. So let's end this episode with a prayer. Please pray with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the inspiring examples of St. Vincent de Paul, St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Francis of Assisi, and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Grant us the grace to serve with love, to seek spiritual growth, and to embrace transformation through your will. Help us to build lasting legacies of faith and compassion, as these saints did, and to follow their paths of charity, education, and devotion, bringing your light to the world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Until next time, my friends, Mary, Untier of Knots, pray for us. God bless you.
If you are an ambitious college student who desires to leverage your God-given talents to live in beatitude and make a bold difference in the world, Dr. Virginia Cook can help you excel in your educational journey and grow in your Catholic identity. As founder of Knots Untied Coaching, Virginia offers mindset coaching from an authentically Catholic perspective and collegiate success and well-being strategies for happy, healthy, and holy living. Want to stay connected? Visit knotsuntied.com to learn how to join an amazing community of like-minded Catholic college students and their parents. You can also follow her on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. Check out the show notes for links and special offers.